What's happening, everybody? The T to the C, Thundercat, the one and only, coming at you on Friday. The website is thundercatseductionlair.com. The email is thundercat@thundercatseductionlair.com. You guys got anything you want to hear about on the show? Send me an email. Today, I am flying solo. Adam, Amanda, and Cameron are nowhere to be seen today. Adam and Amanda are traveling to London, and I believe Cameron is just sleeping one off, so you guys just have me today. But that's okay, because we got a lot of stuff to talk about, and in fact, I am not completely alone on this podcast this week. Today, we have the great pleasure of welcoming the one, the only, Scott McKay. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be here.
A warm booty cast welcome for Scott Sweet. McKay.
I'm glad there's only one of me, by the way. I don't think the world's ready for an evil twin.
Yes, you'd have to grow a goatee or shave your goatee, depending on how you're looking right now.
Yeah.
So,
be the shaving part right now.
Yeah, so, okay, we got Scott on the show, and Scott's going to talk about some cool stuff. For those of you out there who don't know, Scott's probably one of the lesser-known guys in the community, but by and large, I think he's pretty well-known in the dating world. But the first thing I want to talk about today is, Scott, do you happen to know a gentleman by the name of Gunwich?
Gunwich. I've heard the name.
Okay, well, he's pretty well known in the community. He's been around pretty much since the beginning. Very interesting character. And apparently he thought I was feuding with him for a little while.
Well, what would have given him that idea? What happened?
Well, I didn't know this, but apparently the guy was trying to contact me. He was calling the wrong phone number. He was sending the email to the wrong address, and he thought I was ignoring him. So he tried to get in touch with me a number of times, but I wasn't getting any of his stuff. So he gets upset because he thinks that, like, I'm, like, you know, just tooling him in some way or some fashion. I don't know. So I hear this from Tokyo PUA, the guy who runs fastseduction.com along with Formhandle. Sure. He says, hey, you know, like, Gunwich is trying to get in touch with you. I'm like, okay, well, give him my phone number. So Tokyo PUA gives Gunwich my phone number, and Gunwich calls me at 8 in the morning on a Sunday. Okay? I'm in bed. I'm tired. I'd been up late the night before. He wakes me up. So I pick up the phone because I see it's him. I have my caller ID on. I'm like, hey, man, you know, how's it going? And he's like, you know, he greets me and does all that stuff. And then I tell him, like, look, I'm – like asleep right now, would you mind calling back in like an hour or so and we can talk then? And then he gets really upset, curses me out, and hangs up. And I'm like, nice. Oh fuck. I'm like, I just pissed off Gunwich again. Through no fault of my own. The guy calls me at 8 a.m. on a Sunday and he's pissed that I don't want to talk. He's even in my same time zone, so I don't know what the hell is going on there.
He probably hadn't been to bed yet.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. So I call him back. And I make nice. I end up talking to him for like 2 hours on the phone. And so everything's now cool between me and Gunwich. But, you know, sometimes I just feel like when dealing with guys in the community, like I'm just dealing with really high maintenance women. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've had that feeling before, too.
Like, seriously, it's like they need their egos stroked and they need to like feel like more secure about your relationship with them and all this other stuff. I mean, it's very bizarre.
Yeah, I had a guy on Virtuosity. And, you know, Virtuosity is the program I did last year, where I had 4 dozen of you guys on. And I had one guy who would not be on Virtuosity, who's a great friend of mine and whose work I really respect. And he wouldn't be on because another guy was on there and he can't be on any sales page or any program anywhere where this other guy appears because he hates the guy so much that he thinks it ruins his reputation to even be there.
And I'm like, who is the other guy?
Oh, I'm not going to mention any names. I can't do that.
No, I want to know who the other guy was who he thought was going to ruin his reputation.
I can't do it, man. I can't name names. I probably okay. shouldn't have said anything. But right. I'm saying with you that there are guys out there and they just can't stand each other. And both of the guys to me have always been really cool. And I love both of their work. And then they have this feud together and I don't even know where it comes from. And of course, you know, you try to get the story from them and it's just something silly. That's why I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want anybody to be to be denigrated because of it, but it definitely goes on. There's guys, they've never even talked to each other before. And for some reason, somebody had this, he said, she said mentality and it becomes this big political mess. And you're right. It ends up being like, really like working with a bunch of high maintenance women.
Yeah. Okay. What's your Virtuosity sales page, by the way?
Virtuosity is deservewhatyouwant.com, all one word, front slash virtuosity.
Deservewhatyouwant.com forward slash virtuosity. If I can spell, I'm going to go to the sales. I'm going to unravel this mystery here. I'm going to look at everyone that you have on this course and,
don't spend too much time on it, man, and figure out,
okay, so we're going to scroll down.
Big, by the way, Denzel Washington does not appear on the program, in case anybody's wondering. I've been asked that before.
Why would Denzel Washington appear on the program?
Oh, there was a movie back in the 90s called Virtuosity.
Okay. Let's see here. All right, so you have Jay Ellis from Ask Romeo.
Yeah.
The guy, he's like Cousin It. He's just a walking piece of hair.
Yeah, well, that's kind of his trademark, man. The Jufa.
Got Carlos Zuma.
Yeah.
Got Will H.
Yeah, who's awesome.
Alex Allman, never heard of that guy.
Alex Allman's actually going to be on my podcast this week. He's a sex guy. He's a sex teacher. Awesome stuff, man. He just
Doc Love, Zan Perrion, me, right. Mike Bloomberg,
yep.
Barry Kirky, Stephen Nash, Grungy.
Yep.
Oliver. Let's see here. AJ and Jordan, Brent, Asian Playboy.
Yep.
David Weigand, Sean Stevenson, Christian Hudson. Let's see here. Sebastian Drake, Frank Kermit. I know most of these guys.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to make a guess.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You do have Cameron on here.
I do have Cameron on there.
All right. Because my guess was going to be that Cameron refused to be on it because he doesn't like Carlos Zuma.
Well, that would not be the one I'm thinking of. I don't know anything about Cameron not liking Carlos.
All right, I'm willing to bet though. I'm willing to bet that the guy who pissed off whatever guy wouldn't show up was Carlos Zuma. Is that correct?
Why is that?
Because a lot of I don't know why I like Carlos personally. I think he's got good stuff, but a lot of people think that he rips them off for some reason or another.
Is that what Cameron thought?
Yeah. Cameron thinks that Carlos takes other people's ideas and repackages them or something.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of times we all think we have original thoughts, and then we open up somebody else's newsletter, and there's the original thought we had in someone else's typeset. But yeah. I don't know. I've never been quick to judge that way. In other words, I've seen stuff I've literally said word for word in other guys' newsletters before. And I just think it's like there's not really an original thought in the universe. You know what I mean? Like somebody did the same exact analogy to Fight Club that I used one time, and something about starting pillow fights on Sunday morning and getting the trouble you're looking for in an online dating profile, and some other guy took credit for that. But I'm just not sure they ripped me off per se. I just think if I had an ego and I was hypersensitive about it, I could feel that way. So I don't know. I think Carlos's stuff is great. I don't have a problem with Carlos. Carlos and I work together all the time. I think he's
I like Carlos's stuff too, and I think he's a great guy. I just there are no original ideas in this marketplace anymore, honestly. It's like everything's been done to death. It's like direct, indirect, natural, routines.
I know.
Like story versus story. I mean there's only so much that people can really innovate, and
especially with pickup.
Yeah, especially with, because there's only so many things a guy can do to get a chick,
Right.
Go ahead.
You know what happens, like, when you start thinking you have original ideas and you have something really groundbreaking? I've noticed that as I go back and start reading these really old books that are still well-known, like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is not really old, but something like How to Win Friends and Influence People, which, Carnegie wrote like in the 30s, or Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Man, if you're going to do this stuff for a living, you've got to go read all those books, because you're going to come out with all these thoughts that you think are original, and 40 million people read it in that book already. And then you just end up looking silly. So it's like, you've got to go back and read all these books, or else, you better not write anything until you've got that all sorted. You know what I mean?
I call it the Ross Jeffries syndrome. He thinks he invented everything. I'm Ross Jeffries. I created all the seduction material in 1999 with my DC 2000 seminar. Bow before me. Bow before Ross Jeffries. So yeah, like he's someone who he just can't take the idea that other people might, have came to the same conclusion as him or whatever. He says that people rip him off when they really didn't. Just like again, another example of people in the niche who are just completely insecure women, So I'm not saying Gunwich is an insecure woman or anything like that, because he's certainly not. He's a cool guy, like him to death, but he definitely needs to be handled a little bit with kid's gloves, because he gets insulted a little bit too easily, gets
Yeah.
slighted.
You gotta have a, a fire suit on. You gotta have thick skin.
I even told him, like, dude, just don't call me at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday anymore. Just please, wait until like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or something, like, because I'm no use to anyone that early in the morning,
Right,
especially on a
exactly.
weekend.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So, who was your favorite interview on Virtuosity?
My absolute favorite interview on Virtuosity. Man, there are so many of them, and there's so many different reasons why so many of them were so much fun. Yours was really good, not to kiss your ass or anything, but yours, I was kind of like pleasantly surprised because you came up with stuff that fascinated me, and I learned from it. As you read what everybody's got, and you read all the blog posts, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, we all send each other our products to review and everything. It's really cool when something comes up that's just totally new. And I love that concept you have of gaining rapport with women without even talking to them, just by eye contact. And another guy who gets a bad rap sometimes for kind of being out there and having some stuff that guys just don't believe it works is that Corey Sky fella. And
Yeah, never heard of him.
well, Corey Sky is this guy out of Florida, and he had a pickup podcast episode that he just got hammered for because guys like, well, what he's talking about doesn't really work. He's talking about, walking into a bar and locking eyes with a woman and having her come to him and stuff like that. And it's just really, really advanced stuff because Corey's, well, he's really got game, So he got on Virtuosity, and I related to everything he was saying. I thought it was just really good, advanced stuff. And I didn't see anything negative there at all. But I think sometimes when the stuff's more advanced, guys sort of say, well, this guy's living in a fantasy world. This isn't how it really can be with women, but it absolutely can be. Going down the list, I don't have the list in front of me, but Will H is always a blast to talk to because he's just so funny. And Doc Love, of course, he's been doing this longer than I've been born, and I'm old. And, I mean, what, 1964? That guy's been doing this since. And he does a lot of old school things, and he says things like, well, if she doesn't have a landline, she's, just toying with you. And I mean, what woman has a landline anymore, right?
Yeah.
But
Well,
it's just funny to listen to because he makes you laugh. He's hilarious. So.
I think Doc Love is one of those like heads in a jar that's like attached to a computer that keeps him alive. Like I really do. Honestly, it's
Like Admiral Dooku.
I don't even know if there's like a pop culture reference that I can relate it to, but it's kind of like I believe that Doc Love's body died a long time ago, and that his consciousness is being kept alive just so he can continue to write articles for Ask Men. I think AskMen.com actually has like some type of cryo freeze unit in Southern
Nice.
California where Doc Love's consciousness is there, and he just spits out an article every once in a while.
And he's a good guy, man. He was good to me. He had me on his show before anybody knew who the hell I was. I mean, before the David D
Yeah.
interview, anything.
Who
So,
the hell are you? Like, where did you come from? Because honestly, like it wasn't until, was it like last year or something like that I heard about you. You weren't into like the pickup community or anything, were you?
oh, no, never. I never even heard of Mystery Method till after my first book was out.
So what made you decide to write a book and crap like that?
Well, actually, my whole philosophy on this is if you're so good at getting women and you're dating so many women, who has time to be a teaching pickup artist? I mean, you're out there chasing all these skirts all the time and
No,
getting all this
but
tail.
where was the moment where you sat down and were like, crap, man, I can write a book about this stuff? Like,
Well, the
what
exact
happened?
moment, I mean, if you want me to cut to the chase, was when my girlfriends that I had put into the just be friend zone were telling me that I handled my relationships with them so effectively that I should write a book or at least share with other people about it. And you just did this program on how you can be this average at best guy, not really very good looking, and get these amazing women. Well, I mean, I think you've got a couple notches on me in the looks department, Thundie. And I mean, I was pulling these women and taking them around, and it was a different one, all the time because I was dating lots of women, and my friends would meet them and they go, finally, they went, all right, look, what's the deal? Tell us what went on here. And I said, well, I read this book and I've been thinking about these different things. And they're like, well, that's not good enough. Why don't you tell us. And so enough guys said, tell us about this. And I started getting literally emails from guys saying, hey, so-and-so says that you're getting all these women. How do you do it? What book did you read? That I started writing a newsletter. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what an AWeber was. I didn't know what an autoresponder was for probably a year after that.
What did you do before you got into this stuff?
Before I got into this stuff, a long time ago, I used to help gang kids, right? I used to work with gang kids in Arizona.
Well, no wonder you have so much game.
I mean, I can break down manipulation for you, you know, any way you want, sideways, forward, backward. After that, I got married the first time and retired from that Vita Loca. Kids showing me their guns in the back of their cars and stuff, you know, got a little hairy. And I went into the IT world and did pretty well with that. Ended up working for some companies that do the routers and switches, boring stuff, you know. Moved to San Antonio, worked for Lucent Technologies as one of their lead technology guys to SBC, which was like my dream job. And then everything fell apart. You know, you have your dream job one day and then it's gone because they discontinue your entire product set. And that's kind of a shocker. And when it happens the same, not week, but the same month that your wife says, look, I'm taking the kid and we're leaving. That's when you hit rock bottom in your
life. Now, why'd your second marriage, or why'd your first marriage end?
My first marriage at the time, I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was the best husband ever. I was a great dad, you know. She drove a Mercedes Benz. She was going on trips. I was kissing her when I came home from work. I was a good father. You know, I didn't come home and beat anybody up or anything. And she decided, well, you know what? I can't handle you and your shit anymore. I'm leaving.
You bitch.
Well, it's easy for me not to hate her. Because it turned out she was diagnosed with a mental disorder that literally puts her in another reality.
Isn't that every girl?
Well, unfortunately, man, I after the divorce happened, I treated every girl as if they had that.
Yeah, every girl in Hollywood.
Yeah, maybe so. Texas, yeah. It's a little different. And it was amazing how when I expected the women to be nuts, they were nuts. When I finally said, hey, wait a minute, I'm looking around at me, you can do this with any limiting belief. You look around and you see these other guys who aren't with crazy women. You know, you see these guys, you know, you're talking about the fatter guys, the balder guys, whatever. They've got great women. It must just be me who is affected by this limiting belief. But, you know, you look around and you're disproven all the time. And I knew plenty of women who weren't crazy. So how come only the ones I date are the truly crazy ones? So I stopped being a victim and I said, okay, well, first of all, I'm not going to let everybody tell me that no matter what I did, right, I couldn't have done any better. I was the best guy I could ever have been. And then she left me anyway, because you know, the feeling that gives you as a guy that that's happening to is, well, I did my best and it still wasn't good enough. So I'm a total abject loser, right? Mm-hmm. If I can do my very best and it isn't good enough, that's not the feeling you want to be left with. So I said, all right, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to go figure out how women think. I'm going to figure out how to be more effective. I am going to improve my game, literally, even while people are telling me I couldn't have done any better. And that was an incredible seminal moment for me, because it helped me learn that, yeah, you know what? There were ways I was kissing up. There were ways I was wussing out. You know, when she was being completely unreasonable, I knew she would take my daughter and move away. And I said, I'll do anything it takes to keep this family together. I give up. I actually said that one day. And I mean, that was the day the music died in that household, literally. And I started learning how women really operate. And ironically enough, after the divorce was over, she wanted to come back after I started improving who I was. But I knew that couldn't happen just because of, you know, what's going on there clinically. But yeah, that cured it.
That's stuff deep, works. Deep stuff.
Yeah, it really.
I feel like I'm on Dr. Phil right now.
I know.
Like I'm Dr. Phil. In fact, Dr. Phil just popped up. He wants to actually interview you himself.
Hello? How's it going?
How's it going, right? Exactly.
So how are you doing overall?
You're cracking me up, man.
Dr. Phil's asking you a question, Scott.
So how am I doing overall?
How am I doing overall? Well, I've gotten some sleep and I've got my coffee, so I'm feeling perky as hell. As a matter of fact, I need probably to be calmed down a little bit. What can you do for me, Dr. Phil?
You have how many children at home?
As far as I know,
two.
Two.
Three. Four.
Do you resent your children?
Huh? What's that?
Do you resent your children?
Do I resent my children? That's such a silly question. Does he really ask people that?
I'm not some schmo here.
Is all this lifted directly from the one that he had with Ross Jeffries?
Do you agree that you've smoked pot? Do you agree that you've been sexually active?
That I can agree to.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Phil. Apparently, Scott doesn't want to answer any of your questions.
Gotta run.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for your call.
All right, bye-bye, Dr. Phil. Thank you very much.
Those are actual sound bites lifted from shows?
Yes.
That's outrageous.
We have a professional setup here at the Booty Cast.
Yep. Exactly. Outstanding. Now, do you have the Eben Pagan soundbite the way Barry Kirky does?
No. That takes way too much time and effort to I tried combing through a David D'Angelo interview to pull sound clips, and I fell asleep about 2 seconds into it. So,
you know, it's funny. I was on the show. I was on his interviews with Dating Gurus really, really early in my career. I mean, I just had, you know, Cliff Lee hooked me up over at Cliff's List, and it was awesome. And I got on the phone with Eben, and I got along with him. And he was asking me, you know, all these hard questions about what my content is and what it's like. And I was telling him, and I was like, man, I hope I can get on. This would be great. And, the moment I knew I was in, I'll tell you, when Eben uttered these words, that's fantastic. As soon as he said that, I knew I was in. He's, you know,
it's nice.
Right. As soon as he says that, or that's excellent, in that low voice of his.
Do
you know
that you're getting like a porno?
That's the when he said that, that's the moment I knew I was in.
Oh, yeah?
Do you like a porno?
So that was a rapport building moment for the two of you, what you're saying. Yeah, beautiful. Outstanding. Yes.
It turns out Eben likes the monster cock porn.
Oh, really?
Yes. You know the guys with the big rubber dildos are like 20 feet long, makes it look like it's like the real monster cock? That's what he's into.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't mean to insult David D'Angelo.
You ever see the women ride that Sibian?
Have I ever seen the women what?
Have you ever seen women ride that Sibian thing? Sibian, oh, Sibian thing?
Of course. In fact, Ross Jeffries has a Sibian at his house that he makes women ride all the time. He's like, yes, 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 ride the Sibian. Feel the dark energy.
I have in common. I may have to get one too.
Yeah. I don't know. I hear good things about the Sibian, but I'd be creeped out. I'd be creeped out having one of those at my place, you know?
I thought you were going to say I'd be creeped out trying one. I'd be creeped out if you tried one too.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Do they have an affiliate program for those things? Maybe we can make lots of big money as PUAs hawking those things to everybody else.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Sibian game, the first true original
Sibian game idea. Hey baby, I got a Sibian back in my apartment, you want to go take a look? What's a Sibian in junk? Well, you're about to find out. Nice.
Hey, have you ever tried a Sibian?
Yes.
Now, are those the red pills or the blue ones? Yeah, that's what you would guess. The first answer you'd get on that one. How did we get on this subject? Let's move on.
I don't know.
It's your
show. Let's see here. You have a bit of a feud going with Barry Kirky, don't you?
I have nothing going on with Barry Kirky. I'm honored that he hates me or doesn't like me. And the thing is, I never get to really hear what he says because his shows are
I think his whole thing is that he did some type of podcast with you and you were being kind of a douche to him on the podcast.
I was being a douche to him on the podcast.
That's what he says.
Okay.
He was talking and then you would say like, okay, move along, you know. Enough about this. Move along or something.
All right. So you want me to break this down for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Barry Kirky called me. Literally, I'd read The Game for the first time. I know you're going to laugh at this. I read The Game for the first time like in January. And dude, I got a call from him like at 1 a.m, which is a great time to call me because I'm actually up. And he goes, my name is Barry Kirky, and I don't know if you know me or not, but I've been out of things for a while and I've been trying to get back into it. And I'm like, yeah, I know who you are. You're the guy who was extra mask in The Game. He's like, yeah, that's me, but it wasn't really me. And then he's telling me how he had never read it and stuff like that. And he and I were getting along. I thought it was great. He called me because he wanted to be on my show. And of course I got a bit of a backlog on it. You know, the podcast, the Chick Whisper podcast. I said, well, I've got that one pretty much tied up for now, but I have this program. And I talked to him about Virtuosity. And I said, hey, why don't you be on my program? What I can do is I can, you know, put your name and something nice about you on the front page. And when they get guys get into the members area, I can put a link for you there. And what I'll do is we can record it. And what I'll do is I'll edit it so everybody looks good, right? And I'd love for you to talk about how to make women laugh. And he goes, all right, yeah, I can do that. Because, you know, he's into comedy and stuff like that. Well, I mean, socially, I think Barry and I are in two different areas because, you know, man, he just really loves to drop F-bombs. And my belief on that is, you know, I don't think that my programs are any better because I drop F-bombs. So I asked him to please keep it PG-13. Mm-hmm. His answer to keeping it PG-13 was to exclaim the word, you know, the F word 6 times in a row, rapid fire, and start laughing, which I actually found funny. But I said, Barry, I'm going to have to edit that. And he goes, all right, cool. So, you know, we were talking about making women laugh and this, that, and the other. And he was talking about sticking ice picks in babies' eye sockets and making women laugh with that. And I was like, man, I don't know. and then it was things like official blind guys. And I'm like, you know, offending everybody.
This is the official theme song for working with Barry Kirky. It's very difficult.
Well, no, I mean, I was laughing, but I mean, it wasn't really the whole make women laughing. It was just more Barry.
Barry's funny and entertaining and stuff like that. But you know, these guys who try and I guess bend Barry to his will, he really likes to fuck with. I think that's kind of what was going on there. So he was talking about, you know, sticking ice picks in babies' eyes and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was just not on topic. So what ended up happening was, man, it was hard to edit it, but I edited it and it still came out an hour's worth of material or more. I mean, it still was good stuff. Yeah, I did have to bring the conversation back around sometime, but I didn't do like what Pickup Podcast did and just scrap the whole thing. I mean, I worked too hard editing it. So you can actually get it on Virtuosity and I still have it up there. I mean, made the program. It's a good take. It's got good stuff in it. But, you know, if Barry is going to think people are douchebags just because, you know, they're doing a certain kind of program and he doesn't want to fit in with it. Well, you know, I guess I'm guilty as charged, but I can't think of anybody else who really has a beef with me. But, you know, Barry, like I said, he gets up there and he pokes fun at everybody and I'm cool with that. I mean, that's just sort of his style. It's almost like I feel honored to even be mentioned, right? It means like sort of like I've arrived or something, you know, to even be in there with those other guys. So, yeah, I mean, if Barry's never actually, you know, I tried to call Barry and tell him that his program was actually going to be up. And he didn't return my calls. He didn't return my emails because I was trying to, you know, get his affiliate program stuff in there so all that could work out.
That's because he was spending time gargling Swamp Ass's balls.
Probably.
But actual audio of Barry, what Barry Kirky was doing while you were trying to call him.
But I'm wondering if right. So I'm wondering if Barry even knows that his program is actually in Virtuosity. I'm wondering if he thinks I did what the Pickup Podcast guys did and not run his program. But I actually did. And, you know, everything on the program, you know, says nice things about him. So I don't know why he would be publicly bashing me other than it's just, you know, makes for good radio.
He publicly bashes anyone, whether they deserve it or not.
Yeah. Actually, the one thing I heard he said probably wouldn't have been pretty funny. And I listened to the one he did with Donovan where they started pulling all those David D'Angelo clips. And I was laughing out loud. That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. His show's great.
Yeah. So, I'm casual with it. I understand that's his gig. It's all. Yeah.
So let's start talking about your stuff a little bit more because cool. I'm actually very interested. So you're married, right?
I am. Halfway.
You got two kids?
I've got one from the previous marriage, and I've got a brand new son with Emily, who rocks.
Do they both live with you?
Actually, I have. It gets to be kind of a long, drawn out story, but actually, my daughter's mom is doing much better. She's on the right medication, so she can live a pretty, I don't want to say normal life, but unassuming life. So there's been some real boring things that happened with the course that allows her to keep custody of my daughter right now, assuming all that goes on. But I have had, you know, long stints at a time where I had custody of Danielle, and she's here quite a bit.
Okay, so you've been married twice. You got kids.
Absolutely.
The question that springs to mind is, how does a guy who's got a happily married wife and two children – where does he get off teaching guys how to pick up chicks?
Well, first of all, you know, I don't think I'm going to make it on anybody's pickup artist list because I've never even pitched myself as a pickup artist. I just teach guys how to get better with women in general. And that starts from the minute you meet them, of course, which of course I guess is pickup. But really, I take the long view on things. I want guys to have the absolute most successful life, a wildly successful dating life, and I want them to make their own shots from a position, you know, call their own shots from a position of strength rather than weakness. And that means getting whatever you want out of it. So, yeah, after the divorce, you know, I was okay with women before the divorce. You know, after that, I was mentally a shambles. You can only be, you know, blamed for stuff you didn't do for quite a bit before you start going crazy yourself a little bit. But after that, I decided I was going to learn how women think. I immersed myself in that and actually put this into practice, field testing it. And I got really, really good. I mean, I was dating up to 16 women at once. My online game was super tight. I was getting to the point where I could take an overall metro search. And I live in a medium to decent sized city, San Antonio, about 1.2 million. I'd get 400 women from the search that I did. It was pretty narrow based on what I liked. I would pull up this 400 women and say, okay, here's 40 of them that just looking at their picture meet my standards. Then from there, I would narrow that down to maybe 8 or 10. And if there were 10 women I found that I thought were the highest echelon in my entire metro area on Match.com or wherever, I would email them and I would expect to hear from 6 or 8 of them. And I didn't realize till later that that's just a phenomenal success ratio.
So you do primarily online stuff?
Online game is one of the things that I did. I mean, I got to the point where I could walk a lot of day game, very little night game. But I would walk into bookstores and places like Target and just start meeting women. And that's where I was meeting the ones that I liked. Of course, a lot of times I was a single dad with custody, and it was easy to meet single moms that way, right? Mm-hmm. Who could understand and relate. Plus, you know, they could hook me up a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
But I was meeting all kinds of women 14, 15 years younger than I am. And really, it boiled down to me that all you really had to do was be the kind of man that women really want. And I think a lot of times, especially in the pickup community, it's like, okay, guys, what do you want? I'm going to show you how to get what you want. So men are driven a lot by sex, and they find that these women are really hot and sexually powerful. And guys tend to say, well, you know, women are the choosers.
And you like a sex
guy? Yeah, right. Women are the choosers, men are the chasers, and, you know, women have all the power. But wait, that's just because you're trying to get what you want out of them. What if you could be the kind of guy who represents everything women want in a man? And women want a guy, obviously, you know, not every woman, but ultimately most women want some stability in their life. They want to make babies, they want to have a family, white picket fence and stuff like that. But if you represent the kind of guy that a woman would like to have that kind of relationship with, women will start chasing you. Now, a lot of guys are saying, well, you know, screw that. I don't want that right now in my life. Well, you don't have to give women that, every single woman who wants that from you, that any more than a woman who is sexually attractive has to have sex with all these guys who are attracted to her. You just call the shots. Now, I don't advocate toying with women like that. You know, I think, you know, you should be honest with them and tell them that in my case, what I would say is, hey, look, you know, maybe someday I'd like to have that. Right now I'm enjoying dating. I'm enjoying getting to know a bunch of different women and figuring out what I want from a woman in my life. So I am actively dating a bunch of other women and I'm enjoying it. Because when I decide to get into a committed relationship with a woman someday, it's not going to be something that's cheap. And the same goes for when women start dropping the IOY bombs on you. You know, I love you. You know, you can't say, I mean, David DeAngelo says what? Tell him I know, like Han Solo did in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that should be cheapened either. So, you know, I do a lot of that up front. And these were the things I was thinking about as I started dating lots of women. You know, dating 16 women at once on Match.com and doing day game was not hard because you'd meet these women and you'd say, you know, I kind of like her. I'd like to see her again. But the next thing you know, you've got a Rolodex that's just running over and you say, well, you know what?
You can't manage that many women.
No, not at all. And there's no way I'm going to see 16 women more than twice a month. You know, if I see one every day, I mean, you know, there's ways of seeing more than one every day, obviously, but still that can just ruin your life elsewhere.
Yeah. So it's pretty soon you're doing nothing but dating women.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
I've actually been in that situation before.
Yes.
It's just like kill me now.
Yeah. It sounds great, doesn't it?
It's a quality problem. That's for sure.
Right. But it isn't after a couple months. I mean, it's a lot like a crack addiction. I mean, it is a kind of a crack addiction.
Did you hear David Duchovny checked himself in for sex addiction?
Really? Is that a fact?
Yeah. We actually have audio of David Duchovny. This is David Duchovny dealing with his addiction. There you go.
That takes monkey sex to a whole new level. That's gorilla sex.
He just finished, yes.
Okay, no lie.
I don't get these guys with sex addictions. I mean, like, doesn't everyone have a sex addiction? You know, I mean, isn't it just one of those things?
It sounds healthy to me.
No, I think what they're really saying is that they have a sex with other people than their current spouse's addiction. I think that's what it really comes down to.
Or maybe, you know, like you're saying, if it just consumes every part of your entire day.
Yeah.
And I mean, porn, you know, if you're jacking off the porn for 23 out of 24 hours and you got dark circles under your eyes and you lost your job, that's probably not good.
Yeah. Yeah. You just need to, like, move to the Dominican Republic or something.
Exactly. Where, hey, it's all right. Everybody makes $400 a year. You know, you can do that selling you books on the internet or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
I moved to Costa Rica or something.
You know, and I decided, like, most guys, it turns out, can handle between 4 and 6 women at once pretty good. You know, you see them all once a week. But, I mean, there's always going to be 5 or 6 you prefer over the other however many anyway. So,
yeah,
reining that in is always a good idea. That's something
I try and keep mine to about 3. If I do any more than 3, I'm getting run ragged.
Oh, yeah. 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 And as long as you're raising the bar and kind of, you know, rotating out, that's good.
Yeah. So basically, one of the things that interests me about what you teach guys is the fact that, like, you really like to focus on the relationship stuff. Like, once you find a quality woman, how to keep that healthy and happy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you've been married twice, so you have, like, some experience in being in, like, long-term relationships, dealing with women's BS, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually like to tell people that it's the pickup guys who don't have girlfriends, who don't, you know, who aren't in relationships and stuff like that. Those are the guys that tend to worry me in this niche. It's like,
right.
It's like, you know, anyone with even a modicum of skill, if they're in a relationship with a chick, I mean, that tells you something about their ability to get a quality woman and stuff. I've even had conversations with Adam, AFC Adam, my co-host on the show. Like, when he first got in a relationship with Amanda, he was worried that some people might think that, oh, you know, he's got a girlfriend, so he can't teach pickup anymore. Or, like, you know, where does he get off teaching pickup if he's got a girlfriend? And I basically told him that exact same thing. I said, look, man, Amanda's a great girl. You're happy with her. I think that that's more of a standard by which you can put on your resume than being single and teaching pickup, you know, because I think that a lot of guys get it in their heads that, okay, in order for a guy to know what he's talking about and picking up chicks, he's got to go out every night, get a new chick every night, you know? But, like, if you have, like, a really good relationship with a girl, I think that's even more valid because, in a way, that gives you even more credibility in my mind as to your ability to teach other guys about women.
Well, I hope my answer doesn't surprise you, but I would say it's pretty much either or as long as it's authentic.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys say, hey, what, you're the guy who's going to tell me I need to go get married. I am not that guy. I just happen to be that guy who decided to make that decision from a position of strength in my own life. Ultimately, I agree with you. I don't think that there's anything wrong with having the greatest woman in your life. It's almost like you've come full circle. I mean, I'm sort of retired now. You know, I've got what I was looking for. The way I would put it is, all right, I get emails from people. When I was engaged to Emily, it was very interesting. I was just starting out with this. I would get emails from people going, hey, if you're so good at teaching people how to relate and dating advice and stuff like that, how come you're still single? Right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I would get these emails. I mean, I had one literally stacked on top of the other one in my email box one day. Hey, if you're so good at this and you're so good at pickup and you're Mr. Dating, how come you're going to get married? What's a married guy going to know about dating? Well, you know, if you take all that logic and roll it all together, nobody knows anything about anything, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the skill sets stand alone. I mean, literally, I was not writing and talking about this, you know, to kind of bring your question full circle about how I got here. I didn't really have time to write about this and teach other people about it till after I met Emily, and I wasn't filling my life with a whole bunch of different women. We started building a life together. You know, that allowed me to – I mean, my career pretty much tanked because of this. I mean, I wasn't seeing my friends anymore. I was getting fat because, you know, we were going out and eating and drinking a lot, you know, women and I. My hobbies, I wasn't doing them anymore. I mean, this really was a lot like – some kind of addiction that was taken over my life. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. But I mean, when you haven't had a whole lot of success with women and you start going out and have amazing success with women, it is literally intoxicating.
Yeah. It's like you're making up for all the lost time.
Oh, no doubt. And it worked. And you're like saying, wow. And then as you raise the bar and get greater and greater women in your life, there's nothing bad about that. So I said, okay, well, I had a pretty good run here. You know, I've learned how to, you know, do pickup. I've learned how to manage the relationships and get women to really like me. I mean, of 100 women or more that I met online, for example, I had one woman who didn't want the second date. And that was my fault because I was late 3 times in one date. And I don't blame her. But one woman out of over 100 said, I don't want the second date. I mean, there were plenty I didn't want the second date with. But that's amazing. And that says, you know, hey, look, there's some real truth to saying, hey, look, if I can just become this kind of guy that women really want to be with, instead of trying to get women to do what I want, I'm going to get some success here. And then women would drop their guard and say, hey, look, you know what? You represent what I want. You're making me feel safe. You're making me feel comfortable. You know, they would make very sexually forward statements to me, and it would have sexual intentions, and it would be like, wow, where did this come from? Guys are like trying to get this to happen to them by force, you know, forcing the issue. Whereas if you just lead in terms of giving a woman what she wants, in terms of not kissing up to her, but what she really wants in the form of being a man, they will respond to that leadership by giving you what you want. I mean, that's one of the main tenets of what we're talking about in the new program. But as that started to happen, I said to myself, you know, I've been dating all these women at once. My life has been consumed by dating. I've found out what I want in a woman. I mean, I had the Pacific Islander chick, the blondie, the redhead, you know, the taller athletic one, the little gymnast looking one. You know, you're dating all these different kinds of women, and you're basically saying, okay, which one do I want to hang out with tonight? It's a great position to be in. But after a while, you know what you want. And even if you're dating 6 to 8 women, there's going to be one that you really would rather date than the other ones, or maybe 2 or 3 that are tied. And the other 3, maybe you should just be friend zone them. Imagine that, a guy putting women into the just be friend zone, right? That's about a guy having the options and calling the shots. And you raise the bar and you rotate them out. But after a couple years of this, I mean, it took a lot less time than I really thought. And a lot of it could have been, you know, my age or something, but I really doubt it. You know, I hear the same thing from guys in their early 20s. I've gotten what I want from dating. I've had all these different women. I've experienced that whole lifestyle. I said, okay, well, you know what? I remember I had 6 women in my life, all of whom I could have spent the rest of my life with happily. Like if I had met any of the 6 a year and a half prior, it would have been game over right there. And I said, well, you know, of these 6, I think there's 3 that are a better option than the other 3. So I weeded them out and I said, okay, I'm going to give myself several months here, and I'm going to decide which one of these 3 women I want to get married to and build a life with, because I'm ready for that stability. I'm ready to take trips to Europe or wherever and have a woman go with me, look at the pictures years later. I want to have another kid, and I don't want that kid to be someone I'm paying child support to and seeing every other weekend. I want to raise that kid. I want to have someone to build a common history with. And there's nothing wrong with that. The only time there's something wrong with that is when it's forced on you by a woman and you settle for something you didn't want. That's when you're pee-whipped. That's when you're being taken for a ride and you have had to, you know, chop your balls off and give them on the platter to a woman because that's not what you wanted. You know, you got married to the first woman who slept with you because you figured you better hold on to her because you're not going to get anything else. That's a decision born of desperation. Whereas if you have dated all these women and you've had your fill of dating and you said, okay, look, what I really want is the stability. What I really want is to have one great woman in my life, but I'm not going to settle for a woman I don't want. So I said, okay, here's 3 women. I'm going to pick the best of these 3 because I could have a life with any of the 3. And something told me to go back online and just go back hanging around, see if there's any women I'd want to meet in day game and keep my eyes open for a couple days. And I'll never forget it. I got on Match.com. I hadn't been on there for a few months. I took another sampling of women, got a couple hundred of them, narrowed it down to 10, narrowed it down to 6, I believe, and all 6 of them emailed me back. It was amazing. And Emily was one of those 6. And Emily's ex-husband is actually on the same exact medication my ex-wife's on. And I knew then, okay, well, we trust
each other. Hey, that's commonality. Oh,
yeah. We're down to talk about
you got something in common.
Right. And I said, okay. I went and met her for breakfast one morning, right? You don't take her out to big dinners and spend a lot of money till you meet her, right? And I said, okay, this one could be trouble. And I said, when I went out to meet Emily for the first time, because we met on Match, I'll be upfront with you. You can meet great women on Match.com if you know what you're doing, you know how to weed out the wrong ones. And she walked into breakfast that morning, and she absolutely exceeded my expectations. Any guy who's ever been online knows that there's kind of like this video game you play it can be a real adrenaline rush if you let it. When you meet women online, you don't know what you're going to get. It's like the box of chocolates thing, right? Some women will disappoint you and they'll have lied on their profile or whatever. But there's these rare women who exceed your expectations when they walk through the door. Man, you just feel like you've hit the jackpot when that happens. And Emily did that. And I remember having said to myself the morning that I met her, okay, look, I've pretty much got these other three women I'm trying to decide between. One of two things is going to happen this morning. Either I'm going to have, you know, where I am validated in terms of these other three women that I can't raise the bar anymore, or, you know, I'm in trouble. You know, I've got a wrench is going to get thrown into the machine. Well, Emily threw the wrench into the machine. I had a spreadsheet that I had where I had, you know, I don't just rank women from 1 to 10, by the way. I have.
Wow. You are really a nerd, aren't you?
Spreadsheeting
your women.
Spreadsheeting my women. You have to, because, you know, when you have women that are all fantastically terrific.
How long have you been married to Emily?
It's been about two and a half years.
2 years. Sex life still going strong?
Outstanding. Incredible. Yeah. Getting better.
This is what I want to know. How do you keep the sex interesting when you're in such a long relationship?
Well, first of all, she is absolutely my type in every way. Everywhere I go, she's the most beautiful woman in the room. She is my choice everywhere I go. One time we were at a Spurs game and they had all the little Spurs dancers in front of us and they would camp them out at the doorway. And I went up and got a beer and I started talking to one of these Spurs dancers. And she was my favorite one of the 16 or so of them. And I got done talking to her and I went back and sat down with Emily and I said, you know, I've known this woman for 2 years. I'd still go home with her instead of the Spurs dancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
why?
It's amazing. But I mean, when you find this woman who says, I don't need the rest of these women in my Rolodex anymore, that's when you know you're making a good decision. If you still kind of want to see the other ones, it's not time to hang out with one woman yet. And that's okay, like I said. And it may never be that time for some guys. Some guys may say, you know, marriage, screw that. Or long-term relationship with one woman, forget that.
I'm talking about the sex life here, Scott.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, the sex life, obviously, if you lead in the bedroom the way you lead in every other aspect of the relationship, then you can teach her things and new tricks. And I'm not going to, you know, talk about what my wife's like in bed or anything. That's a little over the top. But let's just say that because I lead by taking care of her in the bedroom, she gives me everything I want to.
Okay. So
I helped her experience things that she'd never experienced before she met me. And, you know, you can read, you know, some.
So for the long term sexual relationship, uh-huh, it's got to be about giving and then getting that reciprocation from you being so good.
Well, I think you've got to know how to please your woman, then she'll be glad to please you. I mean, Emily initiates the sex in this house. I get as much as I want. There's no sex as a weapon around this house. Because she trusts me and she knows, you know, it's not like I ever have to fight for it. Because I'm doing my job as a man. Now, I do think that if I was just all about sexual gratification from a purely physical sense, I mean, I've had guys who I coach and they'll get on the phone and say, well, look, I have this problem. And the problem is I can't have a relationship longer than 2 months with any woman because I just get bored with her. I said, okay, here's your homework. I want you to go to a porno site. You know, one of the ones where they have all the little pictures of all the women, all the thumbnails, right? Or go to, I don't know, what's the YouTube of porn site? Go there. And I want you to find the one who really does it for you. Or the whole page full of little pictures. You pick the woman who absolutely is the hottest one. And I want you to start watching video of her. And I want you to time yourself. And you tell me when you are ready for another woman. You know, when you've seen enough of this one that you just, you know, all right, I know what's going to happen. I know what she looks like. You've learned your way around her body in video. And it's about 10 to 20 minutes. And if she's really hot, maybe 40 minutes. Maybe you can handle a whole hour of 10-minute clips, right? Well, then, you know what? 2 months sounds good if all you care about is having sex with this woman and it's a sex-based relationship. Every woman is going to be boring if it's purely sexual. Every one of them is going to bore you. Because once you know your way around her, once you know how she screams when she has an orgasm, you know, you're going to want some strange, right? The only way around that is if you have someone you have this genuine connection with. I mean, you talk about rapport. You have a whole program on Renegade Rapport, Thundercat, and that's good stuff because that never stops. Rapport is something you keep building. You build that connection. You have this shared history. You have everything else going on in your life together. You really enjoy this woman's company. So, you know, not to go all David Data on you or anything, but, you know, you have this masculine power. She has this feminine power. And you don't get sick of that because it's a more holistic thing. So you have a great sex life. But,
you know, you're absolutely right about the whole thing about these guys who get bored. And it's like you go for like the straight up hot girl who you have nothing in common with other than the fact that she gives you a boner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to get bored with her really quick.
No doubt.
You know, it really is about, you know, in my game, especially because I'm not the best looks wise, you know, connecting with a woman on certain levels and getting her to reciprocate those feelings of connection. And that's where the real fun starts, because you actually enjoy hanging out with each other. You actually look forward to being with each other when that happens.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I like having Emily around. I like doing stuff with her. I mean, she is one of my favorite people. She, you know, I have my kids I like too. There's a lot of people I really like, but as far as a woman in my life, I don't say, man, you know, what if I could have gotten that one woman I never could get? Or, man, what if that one chick I met from, you know, Target or whatever didn't reject me? What if she could have somehow liked me instead? I've never had to worry about that. And I mean, again, it's not because I'm some superhuman guy. I mean, I'm not. It's because I think the secret silver bullet here is if you stop being focused on getting what you want in the, you know, in the name of sex and start becoming this guy women have got to be around, you're going to find, first of all, you're rare in the eyes of women. Mm-hmm. I mean, women who are not high quality, you'll have a hard time getting because they won't believe you. It'll be only the high quality women you're attracting because they trust that, yeah, you're this kind of guy they've actually been looking for. Women who hate men, women who think all men are alike and they're all dogs, it just fries their circuits when they meet a guy who actually isn't the kind of guy they've been trying to hate for months or years. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get a woman that you deserve, a woman who actually loves men, I mean, Emily has no problem with men. I'm just her favorite one. So, I mean, you know, she does things like rub my back and bring me a beer and support me completely in my work. You know, you're talking about being a married dating coach. Emily decided to go into it with me. She's got a whole list full of women. We had a guy come in for what I call a 10 plus live program, and we were taking him out and, you know, basically teaching him night game, go figure. And, we were both, you know, we were basically helping him succeed at that. And it's all because, you know, you teach a guy how to become this man and how to have this success with women that are the kind of women he really wants. So then he can be comfortable with the fact that he can start choosing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like, I mean, you know, you hear guys like Alec Baldwin say, you know, apart from sex, I prefer the company of men. Well, good luck with that, Alec. You know, I bet she just lays there and spreads her legs and she's a dead lay. Show me a guy who thinks all women are a dead lay and I'll show you a guy who is just looking at women as sex objects instead of human beings. And it's like, well, or, I mean, Scott, where are you coming from that? You sound like you're weeping over flowers.
Well, I don't know. Alec Baldwin's gotten screwed over quite a few times from women.
But this is not weeping over flowers and this is not mainstream dating advice. This is you being a man and watching femininity ignite like kerosene before your very eyes and women start fulfilling all of your fantasies without you having to push for it.
So let me ask you this. You got this new course coming out.
Yeah.
It's called The Leading Man.
Yep.
And it's all about, I guess, your relationship techniques. It's all about how to, I guess, get into a relationship, keep the relationship strong, keep it going, you know, for years and years and stuff like that. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what's in the course? Because I'm actually really interested in this topic.
Cool. Yeah. My next program was going to be something completely different. And I had so many guys writing me on this. And as I went and posted in forums and stuff, these were the questions guys were asking me, because most guys really do want to find a great woman. I mean, they may not want to get married right now, but they want to get on that trail. They don't want to be 65 years old and alone, you know, or not have any kids. You know, you can't really have any kids if you're just one night standing your way through life. And some of the guys on my list are, you know, they've already been there and done that. I have one guy that I coach who's, he's lost count of the number of women he slept with, and then he came to me. And So I looked around, and there's a lot of ways to break down pickup. And pickup is important because if you can't meet women, you can't build a relationship with them. But nobody really is talking about this concept of relationship management. And the way I see it is pickup only takes you through, you know, pickup from a pure skill set. You know, we're talking about getting the approach right, getting over approach anxiety. That only takes you through really the first minutes of an interaction with women. But how you build your relationship, how you lead, and it's all about leadership, is going to dictate, and then that's the right word, it is going to absolutely dictate how well your relationships go with women. And the way I look at it, you know, some, take a one-night stand, for example. You know, that may sound good, but what if you'd like to see her again? Do you have that option? What if, you know, if she's worth having once and it was good, I mean, wouldn't you like to see her again? Well, if you do, you want to make sure that you have the option to or not. That's what it's all about. So when I talk about relationship management in The Leading Man, I'm not necessarily teaching you how to find a wife. I'm teaching you how to make sure that after two dates, she wants the third date. I call it the revolving door of women in a guy's life. You go to all the trouble to meet her. You go to all the trouble to leave the right voicemail message, say the right thing so she'll be attracted. You get to go on a date with her. And then, you know, she goes, ah, thanks, but no thanks, and she disappears. Right? Stop that. It's got to stop. You've got to have control over your own wildly successful dating life. You want to be the guy who is generally able to call the shots in terms of how long you would like to remain seeing a woman or not. And also, a lot of guys have a very difficult time seeing more than one woman at once. Either it just doesn't compute for them. They don't have much experience with it. I actually believe, and this kind of surprises some people, but I think you should date as many women as you can handle so you can find out what it is you like from women and enjoy dating. Enjoy everything there is from meeting a bunch of women, because life's too short to date them one at a time trying to figure out what you want. Then you know how to, you have to know how to talk to those women honestly that keeps them around. And, you know, there's ways of having six women being loyal to you and not even seeing other guys. And that may not even be what you asked for, but it just naturally happens because they're competing for you. Again, because you're the guy who represents everything they want out of a relationship. And then once you decide, okay, I've had my fill of this, you say, maybe I do want to start narrowing the focus here and find one great woman I can build a history with, you know, build a family with, whatever. But I don't think you're ever going to not have your nose pressed against the glass looking at potentially greener pastures outside until you have had options and you have chosen a great woman from many options. And that's what I'm teaching guys how to do. All of that is rolled in. We have a whole section on how to handle, how to really manage multiple long-term relationships. Then there's a whole section on how to identify and attract the woman you want so that, you know, when you do meet her, she isn't like not attracted to you, that you have the best chance of having this woman in your life. Then we talk about how to handle crises. You know, when the chips are down, what if an intruder is in your house in the middle of the night? How are you going to man up and manage that? How are you going to protect your family? What if she comes to you and says, I'm pregnant? What do you do? How you handle crises defines who you are as a man, especially as a relationship manager, and a woman is depending on you for that. I've got situational conversation. You want to know what to say in any conversation, in any relationship with a woman. You know, you want to know what to say when you meet her parents. All of those are covered. That's a whole different section. I have a section on how to handle the phone. I have a section on how to handle Kino from the perspective of a guy who's not sex-focused and who just wants to ignite femininity, and that's going to raise some eyebrows because it's completely different. Also, I have a whole section that says, okay, here's how women talk. Here's 110 different phrases women say and what the women actually mean when they say them, so you'll never be caught out. You'll never be caught off guard in an awkward situation from a relationship management perspective. And even more than that, I've got some surprises coming up that I actually haven't added to the program yet that I think are going to be really cool to guys. So it's a whole system, really.
So this is really about the long-term stuff, like after the guys get over their initial fear of approaching girls and talking to girls, going out, having a good time. This is like the hardcore meat of where guys are going to be spending most of their time, hopefully, dealing with the actual women, dealing with the issues that come up in relationships, trying to keep everything happy, and most of all, trying to keep themselves happy. I find that a lot of guys tend to be miserable in relationships simply because they let the woman dictate the course and the pace of the relationship. And when that happens, they have no power.
Yeah, show me a woman who's wearing the pants and I'll show you a bitter woman, because she wants that guy to lead. Women are hard, hard that way. And I'm going to get a lot of flack from that. But once I explain myself, even women agree. And, you know, one of the taglines for this program is wear the pants without losing your shirt.
You know. So you're basically teaching guys how to guide the relationship in a way that makes both them and the girl happy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And like you said, also another tagline is pick up seduction and then what? You know, once you've picked her up and once you've seduced her and you got her liking you, you've got to make sure that you can lead that relationship so you have control over how long she sticks around. Not control from a force standpoint, but she's glad to be there because of who you are. All that's rolled into it. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a great course. Where can guys find out about it?
Well, they can go to www.the-leading-man.com. And just the leading man with dashes in between. And I have a video on that page, and they can log in and find out more. I have 4 more videos that give you different video tips that you can start using right now. Like, for example, one of the ones I give is how to have what I call the talk with a woman. When you meet a woman and you're dating other women, what do you say to her that's honest but will still keep her around? That's a free video there. How to lead and prepare for relationship management right even at the pickup stage. I mean, we do talk about pickup, but it's as the first step of relationship management, which is pretty fascinating. And a couple other ones too that the guys will have to just log in to check out. And then once you're on my list, I'm going to start sending out free goodies to that list between now and September 13th and probably even beyond that are just going to be mind-blowing. I've got some special interviews lined up with people, some reports and other cool stuff that I'm going to be giving out, and I think it's going to be an unprecedented amount of free goodies those guys get just for being on the list with no obligation.
Nice, good stuff. So theleadingman.com with dashes in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also got a blog. It's at edumacation.com/blog, but it's spelled like your last name.
Absolutely, yeah.
And people can find out more about the course there. But you actually have a lot of great free articles up on there that people can go check out too, right?
Yep, got 6 new coaches too now. We've got a team of 8 here, and those guys are contributing to the blog. And I actually did a video with one of my coaches live here in the studio, and that's going to be one of the bonuses for the guys on The Leading Man. So, yeah, all kinds of great stuff going on.
Yeah, they can also see what your wife looks like on your blog.
I am one of those guys. I will post pictures. She made it to Chickypedia, which I'm thrilled. You know, Chickypedia, you got to be famous and hot, and I guess she was famous and hot enough to be on Chickypedia. So, you know, you can put up Heidi Klum and, you know, Vanessa Hudgens and Emily McKay, and that's a huge source of pride for me. And, yeah, my MySpace, I've got pictures of Emily everywhere. I'm proud of her. She's a woman that I chose from many options. I've always had this crush on Mary Lou Retton, you know, and on Audrey Hepburn, and she's kind of like my type, you know, so everybody can see that. But, yeah, I think more of these guys should post their track record. I think more guys should show, you know, like you do, Thundercat, the kind of women you're actually hanging out with. You know, a lot of guys are like, hey, how many women have you slept with? That's your true measure of whether you're good with women or not. It's like, well, wait. What about all the women that I could have slept with but chose not to? Do they count? What about the women that I slept with and I'm now sorry I did sleep with? Should they be subtracted from the list? It's just silly. It's all about, do you have control over your relationships? Do the women that you're with dig you? Did you get what you wanted out of life? Are you getting what you want out of your relationships? And, I think more guys should post their track record. I think it's important. So, yeah, man.
I totally agree with that. Okay, so thanks a lot for being on the show, Scott. Normally we would have you around for the news and stuff, but since our news lady is not here, she's like on a plane to London, I don't have anything else. So, but I really wanted to just get you on the show because you have a lot of great stuff. The show is a little bit more content-oriented than what we usually do, but I think that it's good to mix it up every once in a while and give people a lot of good value for, you know, listening and stuff instead of all the gossip and drama that we usually focus on. So that was pretty good. So real quick again, what are the websites they can learn more about you?
Well, the new program is at the-leading-man.com. The blog is edumckayton.com, edumacation. And all free stuff there. We update it pretty frequently. Some special surprises there. We do videos on occasion. There's also a couple podcasts, including the Chick Whisper podcast. I'm the host of that you can find on iTunes. So lots of stuff there.
Nice. All right, everyone. That is our show for this Friday. This is Thundercat, another edition of the Booty Cast. The website is thundercatseductionlayer.com. The email is thundercat@thundercatseductionlayer.com. Check back next week. AFC Adam, Amanda, and Cameron will hopefully be back with us. And I want to thank Scott McKay for coming on, sharing all of his great tactics and techniques. I will catch you guys next Friday. Peace out.